Are you ready to sell more books? I'm Brian Cohen.
And I'm Claire Taylor. If you're ready to get your books into the hands of the right readers
and make some more money,
you've come to the right podcast.
And now it's time to talk tips, tricks, and news to help you sell more of your books. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sell More Book Show, episode 477. I'm Brian Cohen from Best Page Forward, joined by Claire Taylor from FFS Media. Claire, how are you today?
Never been better, Brian. I sort of have my voice back, so I'm glad to be back.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we missed you. I missed you last week. There was no we. It was just me, but... But you were missed. The rest of the listeners missed you too. How are things going for those workshops? Have you locked it all in?
What's happening? Not yet. There are still some seats. So, one is coming up on Saturday, and that's the author alignment workshop. And that is really great for anyone who is looking to kind of clear out what they think they should be doing, but doesn't work for them, clear that out of their vision and focus in on what works for them and what keeps them motivated. So that's what that workshop is. That's coming up on Saturday, June 3rd. And then the one in July and the one in August still have seats as well. So yeah, it's coming up. We're moving through it, and I should have my voice fully back by then.
Nice. Nice. Well, I'm excited for people to take these workshops and for them to spend some more time with you. Because all time spent with Claire is just like, it's just showering in knowledge and wisdom and joy and all of that good stuff.
You know. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate that compliment as I'm trying to take the tea bag out of my Earl Grey without spilling it all over everything.
You can do it.
Super organized desk just off frame.
Oh my gosh. Same here. So, a couple weeks ago, we had the question, are you AI curious or AI furious and why? Cami Michaels, sci-fi author, said curious and a little worried. Understood, Cami. Claire?
All right. And then Nick Stevens said, I'm using AI today to generate email subject lines, add headlines, and draft blurbs. My current rule is that I don't use AI for anything I expect people to pay for. Book content, ideas, and cover art. I think that's, I mean, we're all coming up with our rules right now, aren't we? We're all trying to figure out what are my rules?
Yeah, what are my rules? What's your safe word, AI? Jason Hamilton said, furiously curious. As someone who has dealt with major issues with burnout and self-doubt, AI has got me writing again. And I know a lot of authors in the same situation who are neurodivergent or who are neurodivergent that have been enabled by AI. Add to the fact that it's not going away. We will all need to learn about it or else we will be left behind. Thankfully, it has been nothing but a help in my business, and know it can be for others as well. I saw a post the other day I can't remember his first name, but he's Shailene Johnson's son. And he said, you will not be replaced by AI, but you might be replaced by someone who is using AI. And I thought that was an interesting spin on it.
Yeah. And I think that it's also important. I mean, it's easy to get freaked out by what's happening so quickly. And I think there's a lot of reason to be cautious in our approach. But sometimes that fear can manifest as moralizing one way or the other. And we forget that some people really need these tools and really benefit from these tools because they have, some sort of, they're neuroatypical, and this really helps them succeed, or they have other, disabilities that this helps with. So something to just take into account before we all paint with a broad brush that people who use these tools are, this or that.
Right. Yeah. People love painting in broad strokes. They really do. Yeah. Well, let's get into this week's. Oh, and obviously, you can always give your answer to the question of the week over at sellmorebookshow.com or at the Sell More Book Show After Party Facebook group. Today's top story, KIOU. Amazon has announced that they are increasing the cost of Kindle Unlimited from $9.99 per month to $11.99 per month, starting as of May 11th, reports Michael Kozlowski of Good eReader. While many readers are upset at the 20% increase, many more still find the unlimited reading service to be a good value and plan to stay based on the number of books they read each month. Quote, when Kindle Unlimited first launched, the catalog had 600,000 titles. In 2023, Amazon will have over 4 million ebooks, audiobooks, comics, and magazines in Kindle Unlimited, end quote. Despite the large increase in content in the program, authors have seen a steady drop in per-page payments for their books in KU over the years, to the point that some six-figure authors are starting to remove their books from KU and take their books wide. Some authors speculate that Amazon is increasing the KU price in an effort to stem the tide of authors leaving the subscription program. Quote, I hope we're going to see this price increase reflect a big jump in the per-page payment to authors very soon, end quote, says author Jason Durow on TikTok. Quote, if Amazon doesn't pass this new money along to authors, then I really think it's time for us to consider making big changes as a community. Claire, Jason throwing down the gauntlet there, give us the money or we're walking. What do you think? I mean, I don't necessarily see our per page payment significantly changing. I don't know. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, we don't really know. There are so many factors at play here that I'm pleasantly surprised that Kindle has not done this sooner. Every subscription service is raising its prices pretty frequently, and KU has been $9.99 for a very long time. So, you know, in that way, it's sort of expected. I don't think that it's anything with the sky is falling. I mean, you can look towards subscription services that have raised their prices in the past, and did they have significant people and their subscription? And I don't know, but I just don't see something like, I mean, how many times has Netflix raised its cost and people still subscribe, right? It's just a slow sort of turning of the screw on all of us. But yeah, I don't know that this is going to really affect things on a large scale, but I think certain subsets of KU subscribers are going to be affected. I know that a lot of my cozy mystery readers are on a fixed income for one reason or another, whether it's a pension or it's, you know, government assistance. And that is not going to be going up $2 a month, right? In accordance with this. So it's just, you know, where is too expensive for these people. And, you know, $2 may not seem like a lot to many people, but it is a lot when you don't have the option of more money coming in.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And that's a very astute observation. KU payments are going up, but that doesn't mean people's own income is going up, and people do sometimes make decisions on just $2. So that leads us to our first hot potato of wisdom, Claire. Is the $2 increase enough to cause a significant number of readers to leave KU?
Okay. So with KU being $2 more a month now, I know that some people are freaking out and speculating that readers are going to leave in droves. I don't know that it's going to be massively significant. At the same time, I don't think that authors are going to see a significant increase in the page read payout. I think that probably everything will stay about the same, other than the reactions of some authors. I think some authors may see this as, you know, the beginning of the end, or, you know, the end of the end for KU, depending on where you come down. But, you know, maybe this will be the straw that breaks the camel's back. But I just don't think that readers are going to make massive changes. But again, it depends on what genre you're writing in and what sort of age and socioeconomic group your readers tend to be.
Great observation, Claire. Thank you.
All right, Brian. Will revenue from the price increases flow down to the authors who have their books in KU?
So with KU prices going up $2 a month, Will that money make it to authors? I do think that authors will see the benefits of the prices going up. I don't think it's actually going to be a matter of, hey, we're going up from 0.4 cents to 0.5 or 0.6 cents. But I do think that it will potentially keep those prices from continuing to go down. So I think that maybe the economics are such that Amazon was seeing that that the payment rate was going to drop below 0.4 cents. And so as a result, the increase in the payments, the increase from $9.99 to $11.99 could actually go to authors, but only in the way of it not being worse than it is currently here in 2023. I hope I'm wrong and that it goes up, but I would settle for it just not continuing to drop.
Yeah, I could see that making sense. If it's trending downward, they may want to stop the bleeding a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you think if you connect it up with, oh, paperback prices, they're finally getting those in line, increasing these KU prices, they were playing with the Audible book prices. They are trying around the margins to make things more profitable. And hey, I would prefer that over them just saying, no, we're not going to do KDP anymore. This is still the better of those two options.
Definitely.
Yeah. So I hear lightning. Oh, everywhere. Oh my gosh. It's to the left. It's to the right.
Over there.
Oh, it's over there. It's up. It's down. Claire. Should the news of the KU price increase impact an author's decision to go wide?
Okay, so if you're an author and this is the first you're hearing about this KU price increase, and your first thing is, okay, that's it, I got to go wide. I don't know that this needs to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. But if you have been thinking about it, this might be one more indicator that things are shifting at Amazon in a way that is not comfortable to you and does not provide the security that you need. So I wouldn't take it to be, you know, the end all of everything. This is the sign of the end times, right? This is not a plague of frogs. This is just a little adjustment. But if your strategy is moving wide slowly, just keep doing that. If your strategy is to just ride the KU train until it crashes and then start something else, and maybe you've been saving some of the money from the KU train, then do that. Just, I wouldn't let any one piece of advice derail whatever strategy you've already built.
Great advice there, Claire.
All right, Brian, writing is a pretty solitary job. What are some good ways authors can stay connected to other authors?
So how do authors in the midst of the solitary confinement of authoring, how do you stay connected to other authors? I think that a lot of people will first go to look at local to see if there are anyone who lives nearby that fits with them. The problem is a lot of people will do that, see that, oh my gosh, these people are not in the same place as me, and they'll get discouraged. And online tends to be the better place. I think that looking within your genre can be really, really helpful. I think looking in any classes that you're in, seeing if there's anyone who like kind of you like the way that they ask questions, you like the kind of things that they do. There is nothing wrong with striking up a little bit of a friendship in those kinds of environments. And then there's also group promotions. If you see someone working just as hard as you do within your genre on a thing like a book funnel or a story origin promo, maybe they're worth striking up a friendship with. I think that it's probably not going to come to you and fall in your lap. So you may need to, even if introverted, make a move if you are feeling that it has been too lonely of late.
Love that. Yes, you got to put yourself out there just a little bit. Sorry, guys.
So, Claire, with that in mind, and I know you've worked on this a little bit here, how can authors work together somehow, while still protecting their time, their energy, and their intellectual property.
If you are planning on working with another author on a project, and it's going to be something maybe like a shared world or an anthology or anything like that, how do you protect your time, energy, and your IP? Well, the first thing to ask yourself is this someone who has a track record of honesty and getting things done on time? The track record is more important than any promise. So that is rule number one that I follow. But also, if I don't feel like I can ask those clarifying questions up front about how we're going to proceed with our time, how much energy is going to be expected, and who owns what and how we're going to get paid, then I don't have enough trust to be able to work through any sort of conflict with them that will necessarily arise later on. So for me, it's get it all up front, get everything sorted out, get a lawyer involved if necessary to help with contracts and to answer some questions. You will absolutely not regret the money and the time you spend at the start of any sort of collaboration with another author.
Love that. Yeah. Oh, man. You having that in place of just this, if you can't even make those initial connections, or if they do not have that honesty track record, I love that. I'm glad you started there.
Yeah, I have a spreadsheet in my shared world, and we started putting in what characters belong to who and what are shared property and that sort of thing before we even started writing the books.
Very smart, very smart.
All right, Brian. Amazon is attempting to bring the shopping experience of TikTok to the Amazon store with a dedicated app called Inspire. How could Amazon use TikTok-style shopping to its advantage when it comes to books?
All right, so Amazon is trying to do TikTok, but make it a shopping platform with Inspire. How can it make this work? I don't think it can. I really think that Amazon and other big companies resist going onto platforms that they don't control, and they just try to use that style of content, assuming that people will just jump off because, oh, Instagram Reels worked too. Maybe Amazon Reels will work, but only in our own app. Y'all, we've talked about it on this program since its inception in 2014. Jim would say, the hardest thing to change is customer behavior. I'm not downloading the Inspire app, and I do not think that other people are going to in droves. What could Amazon do better? Make content on these kind of vertical video platforms that is going to connect with people, that won't be covered in red tape that makes it just this totally washed out stuff. You're just going to have to bite the bullet there, Amazon, because I am not inspired by Inspire.
Right. How do we make an app like TikTok, but with only the worst parts of it?
That's what I'm saying. And I love you guys, Amazon.
Your brain.
But, oh my goodness.
No, don't. We're not going to use it. Just skip it.
Just skip. And to close this out, Claire, you know, how do you decide when you're trying to pay for services and other things in the author world? How do you decide what to pay for versus just DIY doing it yourself?
This is a question that a lot of authors run up against. How do I decide what to do myself versus how do I know when to give it to someone else? And the answer has so many variables. I still struggle with this sometimes. I have just a deep-seated need to do it myself. I love doing things myself. I love having that control. So, for me, it has come down to how much does it cost? Will I likely make that money back in this project? And I decide that based on past performance of a project. So if it's a genre where I have books in it already and I know that they do well, then absolutely, I'm going to give anything I can to someone else to do, because the thing that I want to do is write books. If it's a genre that just has not performed really well, but I just love doing it, I might do a little bit more of it myself, or I might just not do as much in that genre, so I have less work. So it really depends. It's that time versus money trade-off that you have to look at. But ultimately, as if you want to continue growing in this field, you're going to have to give more to other people so that you can do the main part that makes you special.
I love that. And we so often sacrifice what makes us special because we're trying to do seven things that we saw other people doing that makes them special. And we think that it's a requirement, but you can get by with one special writing thing you do, one special marketing thing that you do, both of those things being totally fitting with you and your personality and your strengths and your Enneagram, rather than trying to assume someone else's mantle. It's a tale as old as time, Claire.
Yeah, people don't get very far in this industry by doing a bunch of things moderately well to not so good.
Yeah.
You have to find that zone of genius, as they say, and just go full force into it.
Love it. Claire, we need a question of the week. Obviously, we talked a lot about this KU price increase. What do you want to ask about?
Well, I think we should put it to people to ask about this, because I know this is a sensitive subject for a lot of people. Maybe something about, do you think that your specific readers will be leaving KU?
I like that. Do you think the readers in your subgenre will be leaving KU? How will that impact what you do next?
Great.
Love it.
I love when I can just spit something out and you take it and you refine it into something understandable.
If you're not watching the video, I'm doing a lot of hand motions.
It's alchemy over here. Pure alchemy.
PR alchemy. Well, happy to do it, Claire. And you can answer the question of the week over at sellmorebookshow.com in the comment section for episode 477. And in the Sell More Book Show After Party Facebook group. We also have the Sell More Book Show YouTube channel, which I think, you know, is rising in subscribers every year.
Year over year. Yeah.
Year over year. The percentage increase from zero is infinite. Claire, anything else you want to tell folks about before we sneak away? Oh, you unmuted. You unmuted during the cough and muted during the speaking.
Oh, beautiful. Perfect. That's exactly how I thought this episode would go, actually. So no surprises here. Go check out my summer classes, ffs.media/classes. There's some fun ones there. And I hope to see everyone in those. There's 3 hours on a Saturday. We chill out. We bring our own tea, whatever you want to drink, whatever your beverage of choice is. And we get nerdy. We get story nerdy together.
Yay. There's just no better thing to get than story nerdy. That is awesome. Well, Claire, I hope you continue to feel better.
Thank you. I'm on the mend.
Oh, I'm so glad. Awesome. And for anyone who is going to be in Dallas at AnchorsCon on June 9th, I'm sad I'll be in your state, Claire, and we won't see each other. But
no.
But anyone in Dallas for AnchorsCon the weekend of June 9th, come out and see me. I'll be talking about three authors who earned over $90,000 in a month and what we can learn, not just from the month that they had their success, but what did they have to build in order to get to that point? Because we like to focus on, ooh, what button did they push? It's like, well, they didn't just push a button. We got a few things to discuss. So excited for that one. It'll be a lot of fun. So
I think it's going to be great. I'm sad to miss it.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. Next time. And it'll be available online, I think. So
okay. Cool.
Well, for Claire, I'm Brian. Have a great week of book selling, everybody. And we will talk to you soon with full voices and fuller hearts in just 1 week's time. So take good care, everyone. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Sell More Books Show. Visit the website at www.sellmorebookshow.com for detailed show notes and subscription information, or to send us news or comments for use on the show. Also, please take a moment to subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Thank you very much for listening, and happy bookselling!